Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. I'm excited about the topic today as we continue our series through the Psalms. Worship that never ends. What a great topic. And I know you'll be blessed. So welcome to Hope Sabbath School. Welcome to the team. Good to be together again. Take a look at each other and wave. We represent the whole world. And I'm excited that John's going to be leading our study today. What a great study. Worship that never ends. We've also got some remote team members with us today. Always happy to have them. Haiti, good to see you again. Glad you're with us. Leah, great to have you on the team today. And Travis, always good to have you with us. I'm so thankful for our remote team members as well as the team here in the studio. But I'm thankful for you too, because you're part of our global family. And when you answer a question, when John asks and you raise your hand, you're part of that in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. We're always happy to hear from you. And here's just a few emails we've received recently. Kanchela writes from Zambia. Do we get a lot of emails from Zambia? Kanchela writes and says, "My name is Evangelist Kanchela." Now that's significant as I read on, from Zambia in the western part that is Mongu. Hope Sabbath School has changed my life in so many ways. And Hope Sabbath School is one that made me to be an evangelist.
Praise wow. God. Wow.
I love the way the Bible is presented. God bless you, Hope Sabbath School. And we say,
amen. Amen.
Isn't that amazing?
Praise God.
You've got an evangelist in Western Zambia who was encouraged to serve the Lord through Hope Sabbath School. Thank you for writing to us, Kanchela. Here is another note. This one is from Mozambique. And the person writes and says, Joachim from Mozambique. Joachim. "Hello, Pastor Derek and all the Hope Sabbath School team."
Hello.
"First, I want to make it clear that I'm not good in English. I'm from Mozambique. So the main thing that I appreciate in the program is how you make the Word of God so easy to understand."
Amen. Mm.
May God bless you all, Joachim. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Well, we're glad. We just launched a Hope Channel in Mozambique, and actually our Portuguese-speaking channel in Brazil, Novo Tempo, helped launch the channel in Mozambique. Wow. Amen. We're all working together.
Mm-hmm.
So really exciting to hear what God is doing. Well, here's a handwritten note from a donor couple in California in the United States. And they write and say, "We always enjoy listening to Hope Sabbath School and see your faces. All these years, we feel like we know you all." You all make Hope Sabbath School flow easily, and we share your thoughts with our own Bible class here in California." Mm-hmm. And a donation of $400 to bless the ministry of Hope Sabbath School. Amen?
Amen.
I want to say thank you, donor couple. You know who you are. And thanks to each one of you, because we're all part of this miracle of God called Hope Sabbath School. It's a donor-supported ministry. Thank you to this couple, but thank you to you too. You can go to our website, hopetv.org/hopeSS. Maybe someone just left you an inheritance, or you see that you have $30 a month that you could set aside for laying up some treasure in heaven. Go to the website, click on donate, and say thank you, Lord, for what you're doing through Hope Sabbath School. Well, one last note from Rosemary in Arkansas, in the United States of America. Rosemary says, "I love Hope Sabbath School because of the," what do you think? "Diversity. The diversity of the group. I learn a great deal every program. And I love the scripture songs too." "I've been watching so long," writes Rosemary. "I feel like your family. Thanks for all you do." Well, Rosemary, thanks for writing to us. And actually, you said you like the songs. We need you to help us sing the theme song today. Could you do that? But before we start the music, I just want to give you another reminder about a wonderful collection of trilogy scripture songs from the Psalms. There's six songs, including our theme song from Psalm 105, and you can just go to our website, hopetv.org/hopeSS, click on the free gift tab. If you don't know how to do that, ask a youngster in your family to do that. They'll find you there and download that collection of 6 songs. You can share those with friends. Hide God's word in your heart, including our theme song, and God will bring that to your remembrance. The Holy Spirit will help you when you need to remember those words. Right now, we're going to sing one of those 6 songs from Psalm 105. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Let's sing together. I just love that song, don't you? Mm-hmm. 3,000 years old, but a new melody. And what a beautiful way to begin our study. John, thanks for leading us in prayer.
Thank you, Pastor Derek. Let's pray as we begin. Loving Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time you've given us. As we are coming to the tail end of our study in the book of Psalms, I pray, dear God, that we will go away praising you and singing praises to you even now. I pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Now, the book of Psalms, we've been looking at how these Psalms have been used in worship services of the sanctuary back then. And, you know, even here at Hope Sabbath School, we put new tunes to these Psalms and we sing them. And in our study, we're going to look at worship itself. While Psalms are being used in worship services, today we're going to be looking at worship itself. And here at Hope Sabbath School, we consult the Bible for what worship is and not culture in general. Mm-hmm. And we praise God for that. So before we begin, we want to define what worship is. And so the question to you, what is worship? What do you think is worship? Okay. Jason?
Well, when I think about it, it really just comes to how we conduct ourselves. And the way we conduct ourselves, whether it's, you know, through thought, actions or words, we're basically honoring God in all those aspects and giving honor to His name.
Giving honor to God's name.
Yes.
Yes.
Ultimately, worship is God-focused and not self-focused.
God-focused, not self-focused. Pedro.
It's the way that we can respond to God and His love. There's nothing I can give to God other than to worship Him back.
A response to God's love.
Exactly.
That's pretty good.
So we're all talking about God, but people worship all kinds of things.
True.
Some people worship idols. Some people worship movie stars. Some people worship themselves.
Right.
So I think at the very fundamental level, worship is ascribing worth, value to something.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And supreme worship, of course, only one person deserves that, and that is God Himself.
Mm-hmm.
We ascribe worth to Him when we worship Him. And I certainly agree that can be in our words, in our actions, in our thoughts. But we need to, like you said, focus on worship of God, because people can worship other things.
And just to follow your thought, Pastor Derek, there's someone who said that worship is to see what God is worth and to give Him what is worth.
That's beautiful.
To see the worth of God and to give all that is worth to Him. So, you know, the University of Denver, they released a study. And they released a study about communication, and this is what they said. They said communication consists of 55% body language, 38% paralanguage, and 7% verbal content. Okay, so there's a lot of non-verbal communication that happens when we speak. And so with worship, you know, gestures and posture, they also play a role in worship because they communicate to God what we want to express. And so we're going to look at one of the gestures that the Bible talks about, which is lifting up our hands in worship. Now, we're going to see what the Bible has to say about it. If I can have Lilika, please read to us from Psalm 134 and verse 2. Psalm 134 and verse 2. What does the Bible mean when it talks about lifting up our hands to God?
I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Psalm 134, verse 2. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord.
Okay, thank you, Lilika. So here in this text, what is lifting up the hands mean? Yes, Pedro.
To worship God, to bless Him.
Okay, to worship God, to bless Him. Scott?
I was just saying the same thing. Verse 1 says, come bless the Lord. And that gives us the context of that verse 2.
That's right. To bless the Lord. And I know, talking about context, Scott, here the context is those who are ministering in the temple are called to lift up their hands and bless God. Now, this gesture, it expresses adoration. And this gesture indicates the object of praise is God. Is God and not ourselves, and that the entire person is involved in worshiping God or giving praises to God. Let's look at another text, Lamentations chapter 2 and verse 19. Lamentations chapter 2 and verse 19. And if I can have Jason, please read that for us.
It'd be my pleasure. Lamentations chapter 2, verse 19 says, arise, cry out in the night. At the beginning of the watches, pour out your heart like water before the face of the Lord. Lift your hands towards Him for the life of your young children who faint from hunger at the head of every street.
Okay, thank you. So here, what is the meaning of lifting one's hand towards the heavens in Lamentations? Yes, Jason?
It seems like in like a cry out, like desperation, like, you know, Lord, you know, this is giving up yourself, surrendering in a sense. I'm taking from that text.
Okay. So in Psalms, we're seeing that lifting up our hands means, you know, to praise God, to give Him glory. But here in Lamentations, we're seeing in out of desperation, we're crying out to God and we want to receive help from Him. And so what we're beginning to see is that lifting up hands, it means different things in different contexts. But all of that is focused towards God. You know? To Him we praise, and He is the object of worship, and He is the giver of all blessings and the answer to our prayers. Let's look at one more verse in the New Testament. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8. If I can have Scott, please read that for us. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8. Paul is instructing his, if I can use the young intern, Timothy, as to how one ought to conduct himself in the house of God.
Yes, it says, I desire then that in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling.
Okay, so we see not only in the Old Testament, but also the New Testament, in the church, we find that lifting up of hands is being allowed. Lifting up of hands is being allowed. So, question. Is it fine for us to lift our hands in worship? Yes, Scott.
You know, I was raised in a setting where people were rather skeptical of lifting hands. They associated it with, you know, Pentecostalism or other things. But when I read the Bible, I don't find that there. Like, lifting hands is biblical. And so it's not a habit I was raised with, but it's something that's biblical.
Yes, Tim?
Like you said, lifting up your hand depends on the context. if you're in church and the pastor is preaching, for example, you cannot lift your hands. You need to be reverent.
That's right.
But if there's worship, if there's a song that compels your spirit to lift your hands, then you can.
Okay. Mm. Yes. You used a very important word. You know, here actually in Timothy, Paul talks to Timothy about the importance of reverence in God's house. Mm. And so lifting up hands, it's not supposed to be irreverent. It should not be irreverent. There should be reverence that should be entailed along with that. Pastor Derek?
So, and also in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, in anything to do with worship, whether it's prayer or fasting, whatever, don't do something to draw attention to yourself.
That's right. Mm.
Right.
I'm thinking of my wife's grandmother who was from China, and she would kowtow when she prayed. You know what kowtowing is, mm-hmm. right? Mm. But she wouldn't do that on a platform or in front of everybody. She would do that when she went to her closet to pray because it was part of her culture. It was her way, actually, of showing reverence to God in her culture. But I think the principle in the Sermon on the Mount is that we are sensitive, that we're not just like becoming the center of attention, drawing attention. That's Jesus talks about praying on street corners so that you can be seen by people.
Mm-hmm. Mm. That's right. And we'll go to the verse, Pastor Derek, but I want to take a few comments. Pedro and then Travis.
I see the importance here of giving blessing and receiving blessing. Obviously, God is inviting us. I found it fascinating. God is inviting us to bless Him. It's a practice we might not partake, and to with our hands and our actions. I see our hands as by surrendering. And when I look at Timothy here, there's the aspect of lift up your hands in a negative way. And there's a positive way of lifting your hands in a negative way. And we should say, my works is up to the Lord. So I think that's what we're seeing here. God is saying, I'm worshiping you by saying, my actions are yours, your actions.
That's right.
And it's important for us to understand the context that we're in, like drawing attention to God as to ourselves.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Something that Pastor Derek said and that you're repeating, Pedro, which is important, is context. Mm-hmm. We need to know where we are and what we're doing and why we are doing. Mm-hmm. And not just because everyone is doing, but the reason why it's being done. Mm-hmm. The reason why it's being done. Travis.
I was just going to say what Pastor Derek said, you know, that if we're praising God and not trying to draw attention to ourselves, I don't think there's anything wrong with lifting your hands to heaven in adoration to God.
Okay. So the scripture is clear that lifting up our hands to God in prayer is fine. And you know, when Bible scholar writes that it's not a prescription, but the Bible is describing that, you know, it is allowed. It is allowed. But if a person doesn't do that, that doesn't mean that God is not being praised or that God is not answering their prayers either. Mm-hmm. And so there is room for both of it. Now, there are times when lifting up our hands to God is inappropriate or other ways of doing it. And Pastor Derek, you alluded to it. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. If I can ask Puya to please read that for us.
Sure, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Matthew 6, verse 5 and 6. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by man. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father, who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly.
Mm. Hey, thank you, Puya. So question, are there times when lifting up our hands is not appropriate? What do you think? Yes, Scott.
You know, worship is one of those things that has a significant cultural element to it. And you know, with a worldwide audience, there are different people who feel different ways about it. And I think as Derek mentioned, sometimes if we insist on expressing worship the way we're comfortable with in a setting where the people around us aren't comfortable with that same expression, it can cause distraction, even if it's not intentional. Mm. And it can cause trouble that doesn't need to be caused.
Mm. Okay, a distraction. Mm-hmm. A distraction where the focus is not so much on God, but more about what I am doing. Mm-hmm. And that's what these Pharisees were doing. They would stand in street corners and they would pray aloud because they wanted others to know, see how righteous I am. And in those kind of attitudes, if those kind of attitudes is what we have in lifting up our hands, that is to be avoided. Yes, Pedro.
And I see the importance of us to care for others, right? Jesus told us to love others as ourselves. And draw attention to ourselves in a room and says, well, I'm doing this for God. It's not about the people around me. And God says, care for those around you. We are our brother's keeper. Mm-hmm. In the same way, if we're seeing someone doing, remember, is your brother, your sister. Mm-hmm. Don't rebuke people for no reason. If they're adorating God, allow them to worship God with their hearts.
Amen.
Exactly.
Amen.
Yes, you seem to have something to say.
Well, I was just thinking that it's really a principle. It's a matter of principle that whatever we do it to honor God in worship. Yeah, that's the principle.
Amen.
Exactly. Hmm. Exactly. And Leah.
I think it's very true that sometimes how we conduct ourselves physically in worship can be a distraction to others. But I've also found that sometimes it can be an encouragement to others. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people are ashamed that, you know, maybe they want to lift their hands, but they're uncomfortable doing so. Mm-hmm. So maybe sometimes our expression can give other people the freedom to express themselves before the Lord as well.
Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Yes, Nancy?
It has to do with our attitude. If we have an attitude of worship, then yes, I think it'll be noticed by those who are around us. But the most important thing is for us to truly be honoring God in our worship.
Amen.
Mm. Travis, I saw your hand.
I was just going to comment on what was mentioned earlier about principle. And I think John the Baptist clearly held this principle in high regard. And it's in John chapter 3:30. And he says that Jesus must increase and I must decrease. So understanding, that who God is really essential. And I think is the principle that it's not about us, it's about Jesus.
That's right.
That's right, Pastor.
I just want to affirm what Leah said, because if a person's leading worship and they're frowning, you talked about body language, mm-hmm. and it's like, let's rejoice in the Lord. And people are like, I don't believe you. You don't look like you're rejoicing.
That's right.
So I don't want to be the focus of attention, but I do want, as Jason said earlier, my whole body to communicate how great God is.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where we're just asking the Holy Spirit to guide us as to what is an appropriate way with our words, with our body language, with the way that we say those words, to really honor God.
Exactly. Mm. You know, what's amazing is that the Bible is very balanced. It's giving room for, if you want to express your praise to God, your prayers to God, using your hands is absolutely fine. Mm. But on the other hand, it is important that we don't have a self-centered attitude or even at times borrow from culture the practicing of waving hands and, lifting up our hands in, saying that we're praising God, but it's really coming out from culture. Mm-hmm. But it ought to come from the sole purpose of praising God.
Amen.
And offering to God our praise. Amen. Puya, and then we'll go to the next point.
Yes, I just wanted to highlight also the point from Matthew 6 where we read, Jesus, I believe, differentiated the way you worship God individually versus in a group. Right. So I think it's important to be mindful about how we worship God when we come as a group. But when you go into the closet and you pray before God, lift up your hands and, maybe you want to move around as you pray. Sometimes I pray walking. Right. Mm. So I think you can differentiate between individual worship versus group worship as well.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you, Puya. So we're having some lively discussions here about lifting up our hands. Ms. Stephanie?
Something else that came to my mind is really we're the only ones that know if our relationship with God is allowing us to truly honor Him when we're doing anything in worship. Mm. So it's very difficult to be able to judge someone's motives. Mm-hmm. We have to. And that's hard, right?
Yes.
But really, we need to pray that God will use that person in wherever they're at and trust that God will lead them.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Thank you all for your comments. And maybe those of you who are watching, either on YouTube or on TV, write down what you think about this topic on our YouTube or Facebook, or email to us what you think about this topic, and because you are also part of this discussion. Let's go to our next topic here, praising the Lord with our whole hearts. If I can ask Nancy to please read to us from Psalm chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. Psalm chapter 9, verses 1 and 2.
I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. I will tell of all thy wonders. I will be glad and exult in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O Most High.
Okay, thank you. So here the psalmist is saying that he will give thanks to the Lord with his whole heart. So by contrast, is it possible to give thanks to God with a half-hearted heart?
For sure, right?
How can we give, or what does it mean actually to praise God with our whole heart? What does that practically look like? Stephanie?
I feel like it means a full surrender to Jesus. We're fully surrendered to him, and so we're giving him praise with all of our heart. He has everything of us.
Okay, Heidi?
I think that he's answering it right here in this verse, because he's telling you, tell of your marvelous works. In other words, share what God has actually literally done in your life. And he's also telling you, being glad, that's a way that we are praising the Lord with our whole hearts, just by continuing to be full of joy amidst the trials of life. We're also praising the Lord, and by singing, he's telling us, this is another way that you can praise me and worship me. So he's telling us right here what we need to do.
Okay, thank you, Heidi. Puya.
Oh, I just wanted to comment that sometimes life can be difficult, and we may not be able to, you know, give praise to God with all our hearts and with joy and gladness all the time. But I think the key point is just come to God. Just come to God and come to him with your trouble. And as Stephanie pointed out, surrender your troubles to him. And I believe that's the key point about praising God with our whole heart.
You know, I want to focus on something that you said, Puya. Just come to God. You know, sometimes when we recognize that we are not wholehearted in wanting to worship God or wanting to follow his truth, the amazing thing about God is that you can be honest to him about it.
That's right.
And we can say, God, I don't feel like I'm doing this wholeheartedly, but please help me do it. And God will help you do it. And those moments are where, when you're vulnerable with God, that you can get more closer to him. Pedro.
Now, it's important to also look at the context here. David is praising God amidst the death of his son. I'm not sure if it was the Bathsheba or Absalom. I believe it was when Bathsheba lost her son. And look at ourselves, you know, imagine, I'm willing to say, God, you are worthy, even in my most tragic moment, wholeheartedly. You know, there's people today who have sentiments, why God allowed my child to go through this, or someone that I love, or the pain that I'm suffering right now. And God says, come to me.
Wow, that's so powerful, because my whole heart could be a broken heart. But I come to him in total surrender. That's a beautiful thought. You know, it's something I long for, John. I long to just let go of all of my fears, worry about what people think, and just to worship God with my whole heart.
Powerful, powerful. Lilika?
The very fact of being vulnerable before God is worshiping him with your whole heart, because you open your heart, you be naked before him. David is the one that is called the man after God's own heart. Every single time you see in the Old Testament, I have in the back of my Bible written the times where David is mentioned during the kings of Judah. And he says that this one followed God as David did follow God with all his heart, something like that. I'm paraphrasing. But it mentions that that king followed God as David followed God with all his heart. It's being open. Tell God, the one that only can see him, I love what John Bunyan, if I'm pronouncing it well, that wrote the book, The Pilgrim Progress. Mm-hmm. He said, it's better to have heart without words than words without heart. Mm. Oh. When we come before God, speak it, wherever it is. Say it, and that is what he's concerned about.
Praise God.
Amen. Tendi, and then we'll go to the next verse.
So I learned today that when you trust, a hormone called oxytocin is released into your system, and it's the same hormone that's released when you're in love, or when you do something with a purpose. And I believe worship, when you worship God with your whole heart, that hormone is released in your body, and it shows in your countenance that you're worshiping God. So that's what worshiping with your whole heart means to me.
Okay. So there's a deep connection with our spirituality and even our own bodies, right? And you know, there are studies which say that people that attend religious services are actually much more happier, and they're able to overcome negative thoughts. And so maybe there is someone who's watching and you don't care about God or the Bible, but you are in a quandary in your own life. I want to assure you that if you begin praising God, attend church service, that your life will completely turn around.
Amen.
Let's go to another verse, Psalm 113, verses 1, 2, and 3. If I can have Heidi, please read that to us. Psalm 113, verses 1, 2, and 3.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version, and it says, praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its going down, the Lord's name is to be praised.
Okay, there's a lot of praising going on in this verse. And you know, in verse 3, the psalmist says, from the rising of the sun to its setting. That's pretty much our whole day, right? And you know, I mean, you're at work, you're at school, you're a homemaker, you're just doing different things. How are we, 21st century busy people, supposed to praise God from the morning until the evening? How does that practically happen, Lilika?
As a Pathfinder, we have one of the laws that we said, have always a song in your heart. You may be singing, even if you're not expressing it loudly.
Okay. Yes, Nancy.
It reminds me of my grandmother, who used to always be singing hymns as she was cooking. I have that memory of her as a child. And yes, she was a very positive and gentle person. And I think when we fill our hearts and our minds with the words of God, it helps us. It helps us through anything.
So singing, whether we are working, doing schoolwork, or humming a song. You can probably memorize the scripture songs that we play here. What do you think, Pastor Derek?
Well, I think so. And God has given us the ability to do more than one thing at the same time. Nancy gave an example while her mother was cooking. You can be driving to the office or driving to school, and you can be praising God at the same time. You're still watching the road, but God has given us that ability. And I think when the psalmist says in Psalm 16, I've set the Lord always before me. When he's at my right hand, I will not be moved, will not be shaken. That tells me I can praise God at all times, like the text says, while I'm going about my regular day.
Okay, and song plays a huge role, which we will come to in a bit. Puya.
You asked John about the practical implication that we can apply in the 21st century. For me, from the morning, in the morning when I get up, what helps me is listening to gospel music, right? And before I go to bed, I read the Bible text or listen to a podcast, and I fall asleep with it. And I believe that sets the tone for my morning and evening.
Okay, so you begin the morning praising God, focusing your mind on God. You think through what you read in the Bible or what you listen to in a sermon, and you go to bed falling asleep thinking about God. You know, that constant communication with God. Pedro.
I see the importance here as well for actions. You know, God says in the fourth commandment, in 6 days you shall work and do all your labor, but the laborers continue to be reflecting the character of God. Mm. Everything I do, you know, I drive into the road, am I reflecting Jesus? It's worship, right? My actions, we talked about hands earlier, you know, my actions come in play into worship, how I treat others. Mm. That's an act of worship. If you have done it to others, have done it to me. It's an act of worship that God is inviting us to do. Mm. So our actions plays a huge role on that.
Powerful, powerful. You know, in whatever we do, we can worship God. You know, if there's a job given and you do that job well, you do that job with integrity, that is worship to God. That is praising God. I mean, God said, Bible says that whatever you do, you know, do it all for the glory of God.
That's right.
Right? Mm. Yes, Tendi.
You could also worship him with your personality. Mm. Be a loving and lovable Christian to be around. That is worship.
Okay, being a loving and a lovable Christian. Now, some of you talked about, you know, singing through the day or using music through the day, humming a song, singing a song, listening to songs. And let's see what the Bible has to say about the role of music and singing in worship. If I can have Tendi, please read to us from Psalm 33, verses 1, 2, and 3. Psalm 33, verses 1, 2, and 3.
And I'll be reading in the English Standard Version, Psalm 33, verses 1, 2, and 3. Shout for joy in the Lord, O you righteous. Praise befits the upright. Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. Make melody to him with the harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts.
Okay. We see that when the psalmist is writing, there's a lot of happiness surrounding him, right? And it says that musical instruments are being used in worship. There are lyrics being used in worship. You know, music plays an important role in worship. And specifically, the types of music we listen to enhances our frontal lobe, and it has biological implications too, right? It has both negative and positive effects. Songs that are based on scripture and music that is based on the principles of scripture truly helps us to worship God in the right way.
Amen.
Right? And Stephanie, you seem like you have something to say.
Well, I just saw in verse 3, it says, play skillfully with a shout of joy. There's this a sense of peace, of contentment and satisfaction in Jesus. So again, pointing to him.
Yeah, John, you know, my wife likes to write scripture songs and put a melody so we can sing. Sometimes she'll see maybe a CD of scripture songs, but they plug in the harp and they crank the decibels up so loud that you can't hear the words and it's hurting your ears. I think the principle there again is the instrument and the volume of it and maybe how it's played also pointing to God, or is it a distraction? But certainly we would say, a person says, well, no instruments, we just sing a cappella. Well, like you said earlier, we certainly have permission to use the 10-string instrument, right? But we always make sure that the product of that is glorifying God.
Yes.
Exactly. Yes, Pedro.
And I see that on the text here, Derek. It says, play skillfully.
Okay.
Because even with the shout, you know, I'm not just going to yell.
Yes.
It's skillfully use your shout, you know, and I've seen there are chorus from different parts of the world that give that emphasis on that beautiful voice tune that God has given us.
Puya?
A few years ago, I had the privilege of doing evangelism in India, and I was invited to preach in a prison. And I was a bit, unsure about what I was going to face. And so the guards escorted us inside the prison, and they seated us in the chapel. And then the prisoners started coming in, and as we started singing, I was surprised. These prisoners have given their hearts to Jesus.
Praise God.
And
Amen.
They praise God with all their hearts. And we sang songs that we normally sing in our churches, but the level of commitment or the level of joy that they expressed as they were praising God with the songs just moved my heart. Tells us that it tells me that, you know, when we talk about freedom, it's not really where you are at, is it? It's where your heart is.
Amen. Amen.
Powerful, powerful. Yes, Pedro.
No, I just mentioned this, it's a wholehearted sing, right? that they're praising God. And I had a similar experience as well, going to visit a very high facility in the nearby my house. Mm-hmm. And you see men singing with their hearts, hugging each other, mm-hmm. praising God, because God has changed their heart, and the heart change, praise God.
Mm. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's look at two more verses in the book of Psalms. And I want you to observe, there is a phrase that is repeated. And I want you to observe that phrase. If I can have Stephanie, please read to us Psalm 40 and verse 3. And after which, if Leah can please read Psalm 98, verse 1. Psalm 40, verse 3. And then Leah, Psalm 98, verse 1.
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. He has put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord.
Okay, a new song. Okay, Leah.
I'm reading from the English Standard Version, Psalm 98, verse 1. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him.
Okay, what is the phrase that is being repeated?
New song.
And so while it is good that we use the book of Psalms to, make new songs or give new lyrics to, tune to it with the same old lyrics, but the Bible also tells us that we can write new songs. Mm-hmm. And in the last study, we talked about journaling. Pastor Derek, you talked about how you were inspired to journal. And maybe God is calling some of us to write our experiences with Him in songs.
Mm.
Yes, Pedro.
I found it fascinating. I'm originally from Brazil, and recently Brazil and our church, they changed the hymnal. They updated the hymnal with new songs. And it was a very exciting experience, because now we have different songs that people have been singing now have been added to the hymn. So it's easy access to people. Mm. And they have added a little section just for the kids. And my daughter sings it. She loves to go through that section of this kid songs inside the hymnal, and she was part of that of that book as well. It's not just so the old hymnal is now is my hymnal.
Mm. That's wonderful. One thing that I love to do is with hymns to see the story of the hymns as to why this hymn came about, and the famous song "Amazing Grace." The backstory is really powerful of John Newton as to why he wrote the story and what is his experience. And the Bible also talks about singing a new song because of a new experience. And let's read about that in Isaiah chapter 42. If I can have Scott, please read to us from Isaiah chapter 42, verses 10 and 12. Isaiah chapter 42, verses 10 and 12. It talks about singing a new song.
And I'll be reading from the ESV. Sing to the Lord a new song, His praise from the end of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that fills it, the coastlands and their inhabitants. In verse 12, let them give glory to the Lord and declare His praise in the coastlands.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And if I can have Lilika, please read to us from Revelation chapter 14, verses 1, 2, and 3. Revelation 14, verses 1, 2, and 3. And we find how not only here on this earth are we to, write new songs of experience, but in the end, when everything is said and done, there is going to be a new song that's going to be sung.
Mm. I'll be reading from the New King James Version, mm-hmm. Revelation 14, verse 1, 2, and 3. Then I looked, and behold, a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, like the voice of many waters, and like the voice of loud thunder. And I heard the sound of harpists playing their harps. They sung as it were a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures, and the elders, and no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, why is it that no one was able to learn the song, but the 144,000. Yes, Pedro.
Mm. I think when we sing songs, we want to sing songs that relate to our experiences, right? Mm. And when we see in the world today, people are attached to the songs that relate to their own experience. And there in heaven, we are singing a song that relates to our redemption and how God saved us from our sins. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we're celebrating that beautiful conquer that God have conquered for us. Mm-hmm. And the angels have never experienced that, so they will be silenced. They're not going to sing something that they have not experienced. Mm-hmm. So it's important for us to also learn that as we go on our journey, seek for songs that elevate God and bring us closer to Him into our journey.
Okay, so, you know, music and songs, they, you know, they help us express our experience in words and also our emotions. Mm-hmm. And here, the 144,000, they are expressing their emotions and their experience through the music and the lyrics of that song. And the text actually kind of hints as to what the theme of that song will be. If you see towards the end of verse 3, it says, "No one could learn that song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth." Mm. So it's going to be a song of redemption that the 144,000 will sing. Lilika, and then next we'll move on.
As we speak about the new song, it's like, what is wrong with the old song? We have, people ask us, so what is your favorite song? And you said, oh, it's this, but it was the other one before. Depending on the context, in the Pathfinder Law, when you study about having a new song in your heart, we learn that singing as praying is an act of worship. Mm. So a new song, why? Because of the new experience I'm living with God. I'm expressing it into words as I pray. I don't go pray and repeat the same prayer every single day, mm-hmm. right? As well as singing. A new song is a new experience.
Okay, a new song and a new experience. Yeah. All right, let's move on. But before we move on, maybe you are looking for good Christian quality music. And as Pastor Derek said, you can claim our free offer for this study, but also check Hope TV, where there is going to be singing and good quality Christian music that can enhance your worship towards God. Yeah. Let's go to the next part of our study, declaring God's glory among the nations. And if I can have Leah, please read to us from Psalm chapter 96, verses 1 to 13. Psalm 96, verses 1 to 13. And it has some very interesting phrases which parallels with the book of Revelation, which we will see.
And I'll be reading from the English Standard Version, Psalm 96, verses 1 through 13. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Bless His name. Tell of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the people, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name, bringing an offering and come into His courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. Sing among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the people with equity. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in His faithfulness.
All right, man. Powerful.
Amen.
There's a lot that's going on in this verse, mm-hmm. but I want to ask, what message is the psalmist calling us to proclaim to all nations here, Scott?
Yeah, he's telling us to tell the other people about God. Who God is, what He is about, His righteousness, His justice, His judgment, His glory, all these different things. Tell people about God.
Okay, tell people about God, and He's inviting the entire nations, mm-hmm. He's inviting the entire earth to do so. Travis.
I'm thinking of Revelation chapter 18, and it says that the whole earth was filled with his glory. The glory is the goodness of God. And the psalm that was just read, we see that in all its attributes, whether it's his creative power, his redemptive power, you know, just all his mercy, his grace. That is what God wants us to proclaim to the world. And that will, that story will be told in its fullness before Jesus comes.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God.
Heidi.
Oh, when I was looking at this psalm, it just really reminded me of Revelation chapter 14, the three angels' message, where I see that he is proclaiming to everyone centuries before the apostle John the Revelator ever wrote that we have a creator and he is worthy of our worship, and that he is going to come and that he is going to judge the earth. And I see him calling us to worship this mighty, powerful being.
Amen. Amen. Stephanie?
I was thinking that this psalmist, when they were writing it, understood the character of God. They had experienced it. It's that new song. They knew him, and therefore they were able to tell of his glory. Amen. It wasn't an old song.
And, you know, talking about glory, we want to, you know, just see what this glory means. If I can have Lilika, please read to us Exodus chapter 33, verses 18 to 23. You know, this glory that God wants us to proclaim to all the earth. What is the glory of God that we are called to share as an act of worship?
Exodus 33,
verses 18 to 23.
18 to 23. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And he said, "Please show me your glory." Then he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I'll proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no man shall see my face and live." And the Lord said, "Here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be, while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and you will and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." I will add it, verse, chapter 34,
okay,
verse 6.
All right, so chapter 34 and verse 6. Yeah. And the next chapter, you know, Moses continues to expand on what this glory means. All right, Lilika, chapter 34 and verse 6.
Verse 6 and 7 from the New King James Version. Okay. "And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and the first generation.'"
Okay, to glorify God is to glorify his character, right? So through our singing, we ought to let the world know about the character of God. But moving on, you know, Jesus, he talks to the woman at the well, and he tells something really powerful. And if I can ask Scott, please read to us in John chapter 4, verses 23 to 24. And Jesus is saying to this woman at the well about worship and what worship should entail.
Okay. "But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth."
Okay. So if a person says that I'm worshiping God, or if a church claims that they're worshiping God, you know, they ought to worship God in spirit and in truth. But what does that mean, to worship God in spirit and in truth? Puya?
I believe it's important to make sure that our reasons for worshiping God is in line with the way the Holy Spirit works. It's not just an outward performance or vain repetition, but it's an inward alignment with the Holy Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to come into our hearts and worshiping him according to the word, because according to Jesus, the word of God is the truth, right? So worshiping in spirit and in truth.
Okay, so if a person says, I'm worshiping God, they go to a worship experience, but they're not moved by the Holy Spirit to make changes in their life, if they're not prompted to obey the word of God, then that is something to be doubted, right? And so our worship experience should always be in alignment with the truths of the word of God, and also in following the promptings of the Holy Spirit. You know, we're not only going to be singing songs now, but also forever. And let's read about that. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 66, verses 22 and 23. Stephanie, if you can please read to us in Isaiah 66, verses 22 to 23.
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your descendants and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from the one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
Amen.
Wow. You know, I can imagine, I've experienced, one of the most amazing experiences is to listen to the Handel's Messiah music. I once went for a sing-along. It was glorious. Mm-hmm. You know, so many instruments, so much singing. But imagine going to heaven. It's your first Sabbath there, the angels singing, and they're playing musical instruments and voices from around the world, different languages. Mm-hmm. There is nothing compared to what is going to happen.
Right.
Now, God is calling us to worship Him and Him alone. Where we take our focus from ourselves towards God now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much, John. Well, that's a powerful study. Worship that never ends. And I appreciate the fact that we realize that in different cultures, people may worship in different ways. Mm-hmm. They may sing different songs. But the common thread is it's all pointing to God, glorifying God, praising God, and telling other people about the awesome character of God. That kind of worship is worshiping God in spirit and truth. Mm. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we know the Psalms down through the centuries were used in worship, both before the coming of Messiah and since the coming of Messiah, reminding us that worship is something that you deserve. You are worthy of all of our worship. And I pray that in all of our worship, we would be guided by your spirit, yes, and guided by your word, mm-hmm, and set free from all of those traditions and past experiences that hold us back from worshiping you in spirit and truth.
Yes.
Is my prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen.
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 Well, thanks for joining us for Hope Sabbath School. You say, Derek, that's challenging. To look and say, what if my past is just tradition or habit? And what truly honors God and glorifies His name and shows His glory to those around? Let's worship like that and go out and be a blessing to those around you.